Hello, hello, my friends. It's episode day. I know it's been a bit of time, but it's been a little bit rough going here in the household, but we're here now and we're getting there. So in last episode, we kind of had a bit of a spotlight on Sybil and Adlai. They managed to get to Ialis before the Black ended with Gavri, so they were kind of spending a lot of time scouting out the city, trying to figure out where kind of their end destination might be, and just kind of getting a whole big idea, big picture of the city. They managed to explore the city and get quite a couple of clues. They managed to kind of make contact with a member of the Black End in the city and was able to get some information about where the safe house is, and we'll kind of just get ideas about, you know, what's going on in the city and kind of a little bit too of what to expect. And during that whole fun thing, we had some fun scenes with Gavri and her traveling, and we had a fun interaction of Gavri getting to the end goal, the Blackened kind of headquarters, to kind of wait out and see what's kind of going on next. But we are going to jump right into the next episode. Last episode was kind of pretty simple, so I hope everyone enjoys this episode. Have fun!
So, okay, DM, just to reiterate, they are coming up the river. They will stop under one of the bridges by the watchtower.
The watchtower, you'd know, is that giant center tower.
Yeah, okay.
They will stop under the eastern bridge of the watchtower.
Stop under the eastern bridge, then they'll go towards the college.
They'll go towards the college and then turn east again.
And it's an out-of-place manner.
You get the sense, because you already did recon of that whole area. If you look, the easternmost tower on the college grounds that has that banner to it, you will see there's like this giant building right next to the cliffside.
Yeah, there's that giant building next to the cliffside, and I see next to it is sort of a gray building. I have a feeling that might be where it is.
Yes, you very much get that idea. As you were walking around the city, that looked like what could only be described as like an old governor's mansion. It's like, it's lavishly rich. Even by standards of this like rich district, like it is gaudy.
Okay.
And it is very out of place for this whole ward.
Gotcha. I guess at this point, I'm just gonna head in and, you know, get Adlai.
Yeah, you see Adlai. He seems to be in like a deep conversation with someone at the bar, but like the second you walk in, you see him out of the corner of his eye. He like immediately clocks you. And he kind of quickly wraps up the conversation that he's having before he gets up and kind of in like a show way of stumbles over to you, seeming to try to like play up his intoxication, similar to the woman that you just spoke to before. He kind of like leans in and just, did you get it?
Oh, yep. I got some info. Now, come on, pretty boy.
He like actually snorts at that before he like wraps an arm around your shoulder in like a very like buddy way, pulls you into his side and just lets out like this loud booming laugh as you guys leave the tavern.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to basically have us stay. I want to stay perched by that windmill, actually.
Okay.
Just kind of something innocuous and just kind of like stay by that and wait for that boat to come in and kind of like follow them.
You absolutely can do that.
I will probably just, you know, share some rations. Why not? We'll have a ration dinner.
Is there any role play moments that you want to have with Adlai as you guys are sitting at your post here?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay.
So we're just kind of sat kind of, you know, up against this windmill, just kind of like patiently watching this river, seeing if anything passes by. And Sybil kind of takes a breath and is like, so why exactly are you, you know, coming out and, you know, helping out me and Gavri? I know you've got quite a bit of other things on your plate. You have, you know, you have your commissions that, you know, we did together quite a bit. The reason that he's just kind of following the two chuckle fucks around.
Are you asking why I've stuck around versus going and continuing out on my fortune? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, you have a much more elegant way of putting it. Yeah.
Well, Annabelle. Sybil, do you still prefer Annabelle? I can
go by any which one. At this point, the cat's out of the bag. You can call me Sybil. I'm not really going to care at this point.
Okay. Just didn't know where we stood on that one.
Oh, well, no. We're good on that now.
Well, Sybil, I never did what I did as a paycheck, if that makes any sense. Hell, it never made sense to Gavri. I did it to help, and there's no one who needs my help more than the two of you. So, honestly, I, as a friend, have been sticking around. There's a lot of things happening in the world around us, but I've never done what I've done for the glory or the paycheck. I've done it to help those around me, and there's not a better cause to help right now.
Shit. You've got a real good heart then, I can tell you that.
It's the least I can do. A lot of people have helped me in my life, and it's the least I can do to give it back.
Well, thank you for sticking around for so long. I honestly expected you to not stay around past us getting to, you know, us getting to the city and everything, and you would just help out the refugees and everything. And then once that kind of started settling down, you just go back to your wandering, just like we used to do.
Wandering will only get you so far sometimes. You meet a lot of people along the way, but you leave behind some.
You know, That's fucking fair.
And I'm not ready to leave the lot of you behind yet.
Might need to take a couple notes from you.
You'll have plenty of time, and he, like, punches your shoulder playfully.
I just kind of look down at the river and just, well, hopefully that fucko shows up. I'm talking about Gavri, of course.
Of course. But it is late this evening, probably well, maybe 3 or 4 in the morning, that true to that drow woman's words, you see a small ship that is thin but long. It's very much made to navigate the rivers of the Isles. You see it coming up from the south, so it's going towards you, heading north. And you see two familiar figures. One of them is the one that almost killed you, that is also accompanied by what look like 4 other members of the Black End.
Do I see our princess that is sweating, trying to be a princess.
You do not see Gavri anywhere.
What?
You don't see her visible anywhere.
Fuck. Is there something further downstream?
That is the only thing. Gavri.
Yeah.
You would know. There is a, Sybil, you see a variety of different sized crates that are on this boat. Gavri, you are shoved into one of those crates. But to the outside person, there's no sign of another person in this, on this vessel.
Sybil, do you still have my crab?
You would still have Doug.
Do I feel the presence of Doug within my 30-foot range?
Doug is 100-foot range.
Oh, excuse me, yes.
So you would feel the ping of Doug as you were going down this river.
The Doug
radar has activated. It's like one of those like green radars, and then you just hear the ping as you ping Doug.
Doug acquired.
Doug, you have established a link with Doug.
Doug starts doing his Morse code with his little crab hand.
Okay, yeah. What do you have Doug convey?
In crate, very crammed, sun hurdy.
Yeah, Sybil, I would say Doug probably has been like sitting at your feet once you and Adlai took up this post, and Doug like was just kind of like snoozing, and then you see like Doug like perk up, kind of like an antenna going off, and then he just frantically starts doing his little tippy taps with his claws and portrays this message.
Okay, so she's in a box, Gav in a box, I will sort of initiate me and Adlai to sort of start following that boat.
I want stealthily. I want you to roll stealth checks.
That is a 12. I hate that inward breathing. I know Megan that's just bad.
Saw Adlai's stealth score and just saw what Adlai rolled.
Uh-oh. I'm okay.
What'd you get, Sybil?
I got a 12.
A 12?
Why do you ask, perchance?
Because I just rolled a perception for all four of the people on the boat. Two of them, because meets it beats it. Two of them don't seem to notice you, but two of them immediately clock the both of you.
As soon as I notice that, I'm going to start making casual conversation with Adlai.
Yeah, you do that, and the two that clock you kind of like give you like one of those kind of like general just like raises up a hand and like a greeting of just like a hey kind of like friendly wave to like your acknowledgement, but they are definitely watching you.
Yeah, kind of figured. All right. Further, I'm going to, so they're heading on that eastward bridge.
They're currently unloading this kind of like long ship that they rode down the river with into a carriage that was kind of parked. Like one of them had darted off to get a carriage and brought it back, and they're starting to unload the crates. You do see that there is one crate that it does take two of them to lift and put into the cart.
Dense.
You are so dense, Davry.
In multiple ways.
In multiple ways.
I am going to lead Adlai away from the windmill and away from that shoreline, and bring us out of sight. I want to bring us further up the road, not even a halfway, kind of like an 80% of the way.
Towards the building?
Yeah, towards that out of place mansion.
Okay.
I want us to be out of sight, out of mind. Like we're just a couple of weirdos that were hanging by the windmill.
Okay. Yeah, none of them follow you. So once you guys start walking down, Adlai kind of, like, returns, like, the general, like, wave motion that he had extended to the both of you to originally. And you guys start making your way down the street. And, like I said, none of them follow you. None of them give chase. They all watch you go until you're out of sight. And they kind of start going back to their kind of respective duties. And you kind of find a way that you have, like, the manor in sight between buildings on, like, the other side of the ward. At, like, the very end of the street, kind of, like, towards the stairs by the lighthouse. So, like, the manor is in sight. You could get to it quickly, but, like, you're also still out of sight from kind of, like, the main gate. And it takes maybe 20 minutes before you hear the sound of, like, a cart and horses, like, coming down the road towards the manor.
Yeah, all right. As soon as I hear that, my fucking ears perk up. I'm keeping a good watch. Yeah, I'm just going to keep a good watch and see where they're trying to go.
I feel like Doug is dancing like a stick bug.
Yeah.
God damn Doug, it.
We're getting stick bugged right now. but yeah, your ears perk up and you kind of keep a closer eye down the street. And sure enough, you see that single carriage. There now only seems to be two of them that are, like, driving the carriage, two you don't recognize. And they pull up to the gate and you see them knock a very specific sequence into, like, the stonework next to this giant wrought iron gate that leads to this estate. And the second, like, the last knock hits before he can even pull his knuckle away from the stone, the gates, you can hear it from where you're sitting, just that noise as the gates slowly open, just wide enough for this cart to pass through before they start shutting again. And Gavri, you hear this too, this loud screeching of iron, just this gate that needs some oil. And you hear the sounds, Gavri, of voices. You hear the sound of a female voice, the first one you've heard, actually. You hear her go, "You're behind schedule. He's already waiting down in his office. Bring her down immediately." And you hear one of the male voices that you don't recognize, like, start to pipe up and, like, give an excuse. And you hear just, like, a smack of, like, something, like, you can imagine this woman, like, smacks this man upside the head and just, like, "Did I ask for an excuse? I told you what to do. Now go down and get her ready."
There's a mocking laugh from the crate.
You hear just kind of, like, this grumbling as, like, you hear, like, the rustling of fabric. You can imagine, like, this man rubbing the back of his head before your crate is lifted. And, Sybil, you see one of the crates being brought inside the mansion immediately.
All right. Yeah, at this point, I'm going to kind of, like, motion Adlai and kind of start silently racing over to one of the walls.
What are you trying to do?
I'm gonna try and scale one of the walls of this mansion.
Are you trying to do it stealthily?
Yes.
Roll stealth for me, baby.
This could end very badly, and I'm okay with that. That's a 10.
Do you want to see what Adlai rolled?
Adlai! Get good, Adlai.
Adlai is a paladin. Adlai rolled a 6.
We aren't good at this.
So you and Adlai run up to the wall, and, like, Adlai is getting ready to boost you before you have, like, a lantern shined on you, and you hear the sound of just, like, an hey, what are you doing? And you hear, like, footsteps running up behind you as you see two watchmen are running up to you. Like, city guards who were on patrol.
Oh, we're just, city masons. We're checking out the masonry work. And I kind of, like, lightly kick Adlai to let me down. We forgot our ladder, so I'm having my buddy lift me up so I can check out parts of the wall.
Roll deception for me. Adlai's gonna pipe up just like, yeah, you know, we're really bogged down on work orders right now, so we already cleared it with the person who owns this villa. He's expecting us pretty late at night. It's totally fine. It's cleared for the city, so take it with advantage. Shit,
that's a 9!
Take it with advantage, because Adlai's helping you.
Okay. Okay, that's an 18. That's better.
Yeah, the city watch, the guy who had, stopped and originally called out, squints at you very quizzically, and the second one that was walking his patrol with him kind of, slaps him on the shoulder, just like, yeah, man, come on, we can't disrupt work. Good day. And he just starts sauntering down the street, and the other one just kind of looks at him, just like, what the fuck? And, trails off after him, just like, what the fuck was that?
Cop B just doesn't want to do paperwork.
Nope. Cop B was just like, this is not my job.
It is his job.
It is his job. It is not tonight. It is not his job.
All right. I think it's time to, can I go? Actually, Jasmine, better plan.
Okay.
How close is that cliff to the back of the mansion? Is there a feasible way where we could just kind of sneak around back very stereotypically?
If you were to sneak around, trying to find a gap in the fence, or if you were to jump down from the cliff side?
Plan A, see if there's a gap in the fence. Plan B, see if there's literally nothing back here and we can get up pretty stealthily. Or C, try and fucking jump. That's kind of the last turn. That's kind of the last ditch effort, is just kind of fucking jumping.
Mm-hmm. So if you make your way around the building, you do see that the wall of this villa is very much it's bolted into the cliffside, so there's not a gap, but there doesn't really seem to be any guards back here on this side of the villa. They all seem to be up front for this kind of special delivery that just happened.
Pigeon. Okay.
And Gavri, you hear yourself being brought inside. You hear the sounds. You only can guess it would be the main doors, these heavy wooden doors. You hear them open, mm-hmm. and you hear this woman barking more orders. And you feel yourself being carried quite a ways down a hallway of what it seems like, just kind of how the sound reverberates. Mm-hmm. Before you're set down, you hear a jingle of keys, and you hear a door being unlocked before you're kind of pushed, you're jostled and just kind of whoa. You're pushed into this room. Before you hear kind of a grumbling, one of the men are breathing hard from having to carry this crate. Before you hear the sound of wood scraping on stone as they seem to be pushing stuff aside. And you hear again the sounds of keys and a lock disengaging. And you hear a trap door opening before your box is just pushed. And you go down the stairs.
Rude.
And you take 4 points of bludgeoning damage as you are jostled around this crate.
Oh, gosh dang it.
And you are continued to be carried down quite a series of hallways.
My goodness. Big place. Good lord.
And just from even inside your crate, it's very humid. Mm-hmm. You can hear. You know, the smell of a cellar where it's, damp and just cold? You smell like you're underground, even though it's very hot and humid in your crate. Mm-hmm. And, Gavri, as you finish taking that tumble down the stairs, you hear laughter in the back of your mind.
Can I help you?
This is fucking funny. Just, man, it's a great view out here. It's a shame you can't see it.
What's it look like?
Well, that would spoil the fun.
Well, I need to know when you should release me.
Well, we're walking down a hallway right now. It goes right, then left, then right, then left, then right, and left, and then right. I'm just bullshitting you. It goes left, then right again, then left.
Holy fuck.
And then now you're going through a room. There's something cool changed at the ceiling. What? But now, now you're going into another room. Oh, there's a new trapdoor here. And again, you hear the sound of keys getting taken out. And
how many trapdoors does one mansion need?
You are not dumped down the stairs of this one. You are carried down. And you hear, the hollow in the back of your mind just, ooh, star of the show.
Oh, and shit.
You hear a familiar sound of just, set it up in the room beyond. I'll be there in a minute. You hear Cyrex. And you hear, like, the sound of, like, a quill scratching on paper. Like, he must be in the middle of writing something when he gave this order.
Wow, doesn't even have the time of day to say hi.
Nope.
A-hole.
But you feel yourself being carried into a different room, and the hollow just kind of chuckles again. He goes, it's a pretty good room.
I'm offended on Alessa's behalf. Like, she goes through the entire effort of killing a man, and he doesn't even have the time of day for her.
But it's also, it's that kind of amused chuckle of just pretty good room that you feel your connection with the hollow be cut off.
What?
You no longer feel his presence.
Hey, get back here.
Feel nothing.
Motherfucker, get back here. Do you want your candle planted or not?
You are arguing right now with the void in your head. Sybil, what are you doing?
I'm fucking doing masonry work. I don't know. I'm trying to vault over the fucking wall. I'm using Adlai as a springboard.
I will give Gavri the fact that I'm sure all of what I've been describing to Gavri has also been, Doug has been giving to you. Mm-hmm. So you've been getting these kind of play-by-plays of what Gavri has been experiencing inside her crate. You even get the, oh shit, fuck, as she tumbles down the stairs.
I think Sybil definitely has a fucking laugh about that one.
There's the, oh shit, fuck, Doug, don't translate that.
Just Doug, don't send that. Doug, I mean it.
Doug still sends it.
Doug absolutely still sends it. Doug is still an entity of the hollow, so.
Doug even translates the Doug, don't translate that.
Yeah.
He's beautiful. He's my boy.
I love Doug.
Everyone loves Doug. But with Adlai's help, it's easy enough to like scale the wall of this place. Like Adlai gives you like one of those cheerleader like pushes, like you put your foot in his hand and he just goes alley-oop.
I fucking do sick flips.
Nice.
Roll acrobatics for your sick
flips. Oh shit, I was about to say don't make me roll for that. Alright, fuck it. It's for the bit. We're doing a podcast.
It's for the bit. This one consequences, it's just for the bit.
Acrobatics, a 14.
Hey! So, you manage to land, you do a 3-point landing, you, like, wobble a little bit, but you center yourself, but you're, like, your wrist took most of the impact, so when you stand up, you're like,
oh. Motherfucker.
But you do kind of like a little somersault in the air before you 3-point landing, before you stand up and like have to shake your wrist out. And like Adlai, you look at Adlai, who's like sitting on the top of the wall having heaved himself over, and he just like holds up a 7 with like his fingers of like a scorecard.
Oh, come on, it's got to be better than that, right?
I've seen more graceful landings.
Not even like a 0.5.
You get a 7.62. How about that?
Fucking fine. I'll take it.
And Adlai just kind of like hops down off the wall. You are now standing at the back of the villa. There seems to be a lot of like crates and stuff placed outside. You get very much the sense looking around, like this is like a service entrance for like the hired help of the manor.
Then I'm gonna look for an employees only back door.
You do see one. There is one single door that stands on the back of this manor. You see a few windows kind of scattering about. You see a few on the second floor too. Some of them are dark. Some of them have candles flickering through the window panes. But for the most part of it, with it being like, this is like maybe 3 in the morning, it's pretty dead around here.
Yeah, I would imagine most people have gone to bed.
Yeah, most people, you get this sense, have gone to bed.
Then I make my way into that fucking back door, baby.
The door is locked.
Yeah, kind of figured. Do you have any sort of, like, any tools of the trade, if you get my drift?
Don't ask why I have these. And he pulls out a pack of these tools.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not going to ask. I kind of figured you had something like that.
Not that much of a shady character.
Let's just say it's the ones you least expect.
You know what? That's fair. That's very fair. Do you got it, or do you want me to do it?
You know, I don't have the greatest hands when it comes to this sort of thing. How can I explain this other than I sort of expected it and also didn't expect it? So yes, you fucking do the thing.
Step aside, and he like puts like an arm on your chest and like pushes you behind him. But Adlai is going to kneel down and first he's going to check for traps. That's a nat 20. So you know what? Fuck it. With a nat 20, Adlai, very, it's almost in a blur of a movement. You see him catch like the small wire, like quickly disconnect it, and just within a quick moment of seconds of sticking the pick into the lock, you hear a tink and just as the door opens slightly. And he like twirls the pick around in his finger, like blows it off like a smoke out of a gun, and just like puts it in his pocket and just goes, "After you, m'lady," with this deep bow to him.
If you were a girl, I'd be fucking sweating at that.
He just gives you, like, a wink.
And I head in.
So, you step inside, and you are immediately in a very simple, but a very well-stocked kitchen. Where even with the late night, the late hour of the night, there is a cauldron of, like, stew on the fire that is, like, bubbling and getting prepared what seems to be, like, breakfast. There is a hearth that is also crackling. You smell, like, you're immediately hit with the smell of, like, fresh bread also seeming to be prepared for breakfast. And it is just this simple red and brown stoned kitchen, very simply decorated. There's little piles of stuff in the corner of like different pans and like giant sacks of like different spices and stuff like that. It's just a very homey, very well-stocked kitchen. And in front of you, there is an open archway that leads to a door across the hall. Or there's a smaller hallway to your right that you can go down.
I think I'm going to go smaller hallway to the right. That's what my gut says.
Okay, so you go down the smaller hallway to the right, and you pass by another door. You peek inside. It just kind of seems to be like a food storage room. Like, you see cheeses and meats and stuff like that, with some wine. Like, nothing seems to pique your interest. So you make your way further down the hall. And there is kind of like a one of those like divided barn doors where like you can either open the whole door, or you can open the top half of the door.
Oh.
And the top half of the door seems to be open right now. So you're able to kind of like very carefully peek your head around, and you are looking down a long hallway that seems to go to the entire front of the villa. And sticking your head in this hallway, you can hear kind of like the sound of conversation carrying through the hallway towards what seems to be like the front entrance of the villa. But if you immediately round the corner, there's like another hallway that leads to the left. So there's a path forward, and then there's a path to the left.
I go left.
Okay. You go left, and you're immediately meted with another door to your left and one to the straight ahead of you. just kind of getting a bearing of kind of like your surroundings, you imagine that door that's leaning straight in front of you leads back to that open doorway that had the kitchen to it.
Okay, so it's kind of like going around and around kind of
deal. Yeah, so basically, like, this whole hallway is kind of like its own little circuit that you can go through.
Okay.
And then there's a door to your left.
I'm going to go through the one that doesn't lead in a circle.
Sybil, you attempt to go in the door to your left, and it is locked.
All these fucking locked doors. Why do people need to lock their doors? So inconvenient to me.
Well, if you were a crime network, wouldn't you lock your doors?
I mean, probably not. It kind of
keeps out people like us.
If people like us kind of make it fun and interesting.
Just you're not wrong, but also, you know, I get the locked doors. I'm just going to unlock it. Adlai's going to look for traps. Adlai sees nothing, which is real unfortunate for Adlai, because I know what's on this door.
Oh, no.
Adlai... Unfortunately, I feel real bad about this. Let me roll some quick damage. So, Adlai takes 28 points of thunder damage.
What the fuck?
As the second you see Adlai stick his, like, thieves tools in the lock and start jimmying around, you, Sybil, from where you're standing, kind of looking over his shoulder, you see, like, right above the handle of the door, like, etched into the wood, you see it just too late, this faint carving of a glyph. Yeah. And the second you open your mouth to tell Adlai to stop, it flares, and suddenly it is this loud, just boom of thunder that cracks down on Adlai.
Did I hear that?
You heard that. You hear, you in the distance, it's very muffled for you, but you hear this loud crack, almost like a strike of lightning just cracked down right above you on the house. And you hear just, from where you are, actually, I need to narrate for you a little bit before we get to that point.
Okay.
Gavri, you, for the first time in the past probably like 6 hours, you were finally let out of this crate. And it's like a hallelujah moment of you finally being able to get your limbs stretched. And you are sat down in this chair and you're like strapped in, like across your shoulders, your hands are strapped into like the chair rest. You still have a gag around your mouth that is like preventing you from like speaking very properly. You imagine, considering they're prepping for Alessa, who is a wizard, trying to cut off any kind of movement that she'd be able to cast a spell. And what you see around you is this large room. You can tell it's old, and by the smell and the chill of the air, you can tell that you are like underground. Like, you imagine you were in like a sub basement of the manor.
Am I in a torture dungeon?
Looking around, it's a little bit of an odd sight. Looking around, you see there are two like prison cells. There's four in total. There's two to your left and there's two to your right. And looking around in this room, it is by every definition a torture dungeon.
Woo.
But it's weird because it looks disused. Like, you can tell, like, the maintenance and the upkeep. There's only one of these cells that looks like the door has actually been upkept. And you see that there are, like, and the three other ones that the doors are kind of a little bit rusted. You can tell just the metal is starting to warp a little bit just from disuse and the dampness of this room. There are like the telltale like shackles in the walls of like cuffs of people being kept in the cells. The one that is being held actually holds like a small cot and like a desk and a chair and seems to be just kind of like a little holding cell. And it's very odd because you see on the ground like the ground is like that deep, like kind of like rust stained color that you would get of from like a torture chamber that's been well used, but it's old. So if this is an interrogation room, the methods of interrogation do not fit the surroundings. Mm-hmm. Like everything is old. Any form of like what you see of like telltale, what you would expect torture to be, is just, it seems to be like a thing of the past.
Okay.
And it's as you're sitting in this chair, you can see down the hallway. There's a long hallway that leads into a different room. And you see set in the center of this room is a very large L-shaped desk that you see a man sitting at who's been kind of scratching consistently down on a piece of paper. You see him like shake his head and he like throws something in like a waste bin that's overflowing. So it kind of just tumbles onto the ground. And you see this man, he's leaning forward with his fingers digged into his hair, just kind of thinking, hasn't paid you a single thought yet. And this has been for maybe about 5 minutes when you hear this boom from upstairs and like hear just kind of like the stonework above just kind of like groan a little bit from the impact. And it's at this point that his head lifts and he like looks up at the ceiling as if he would to look at the source of the noise. And then his eyes finally turn to you. And you see that white-skinned tiefling, pure, long black hair that's slicked back and just resting against his shoulders. A little must from where he's been fussing with it. But you see those pure red eyes, pupilless, irisless, train on you. And just goes, well, it looks like a rescue party has arrived quicker than I was expecting it to.
She shrugs.
What is your spell save, DC?
It's 16 for me.
Mm-hmm.
16.
Because disguise self, even casted as an invocation, if a person investigates, they can see through the illusion.
Uh-huh.
He rolled an 18.
Ah, shit.
So your eyes lock with each other. And you see his head kind of like tilt curiously for a second before he stands up and he makes his way down that small, thin hallway towards you and just kind of like puts his hands behind his back like a gentleman would stand and like leans over and like inspects you a little bit and goes, that's a well put together illusion, Gavray the Hollow. I can see how you fooled them.
She again, like, does a casual shrug.
Forgive me if I don't remove anything quite yet, as you are still a formidable foe. Not the one I was expecting, but a helpful one regardless. Forgive my rudeness. I have but one more thing to attend to, but... And he, like, reaches up and, like, removes the gag from your mouth.
Thank goodness. That was disgusting. It smells like your lackey's sweat.
They don't tend to have the best of tact, and I apologize for that. If I knew that I was receiving you as a guest rather than the one I sent them for, you would have been... It would have been a different welcome party.
Oh, well, thank you. It's good to know I'm special.
Well, of course you are. You are very special, Gavry. I do have some questions for you. But like I said, it'll be just a moment. And he kind of like pats your head like a parent would pat their child's head to like be patient. And I want you to roll a wisdom saving throw.
Ah, shiz. It's a
cute show.
15.
Okay.
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 He turns around and he walks away.
Okay.
Okay.
And he, this time, however, shuts the door behind him so you can no longer see into his office. Sybil.
Hi. Everything's falling apart.
A loud crack of thunder just happened. And Adlai is smoking from where he got struck.
Doug sends the message of Cyrex on way.
Shit. What the fuck do we do? Adlai, we need to go out through the back again.
Okay. I don't think we have much of another choice. And you are starting to hear footsteps from above you starting to make their way across, and like you hear footsteps coming down a staircase from the second floor.
Yep, we're running. It's bad.
Yeah, you quickly are able to round that corner back the way you came down the small hallway and out the back. And it's the second you start rounding the corner back to the kitchen, you hear it, stop! As you hear a man yell at you, you look down and you see three figures rounding the corner from like the main entranceway darting your direction. And you and Adlai are just like, nope, and just like power running out.
Yep, we're running.
Running. Yeah, you are able to burst out the back door.
Running off more and more east.
Yeah, you scale the wall quickly again. Roll me another acrobatics check just to see how well you keep your footing with scrambling.
Not well. That's a five.
Oh, Sybil. Sybil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's up? Hi, how's it going?
I'm so sorry. Adlai quickly is able to easily scale this wall. You get the sense that he may have done this a few times, just by the way he deftly makes his way up. And Sybil, you try to follow suit, but the last time that you got over this wall, Adlai boosted you. So you quickly attempt to like jump up and grab the edge. And you do grab it, but you grab it at just like your fingertips barely get the top of the wall. And as you try to heave yourself up, your grip just fails. And you fall back splat onto the ground, just right on your ass. And you hear the door behind you open, and you just hear, Little Liv. Yes. And it is a very familiar voice to you.
Well, shit. Hello?
Now, of all the guests I was expecting to find out here, you were not it. I thought you were on the other side of the continent.
Still could be, for all you know. I could be an illusion, just to trick your mind.
He walks over Sybil and like offers you a hand to stand up.
I'll be all right. I'd stand up on my own.
As independent as you always used to be. What was that little town that you settled down in? It Coniston, right? Bloodsdale Inn?
What the fuck? How does he know that? I have no clue what you're talking about.
You are still as headstrong as ever. It seems you've never lost that quirk to you. Now, Little Liv, why don't you come inside as a guest? You don't have to be sneaking around in the dead of night.
Alright, I'll come in. As I'm coming in, I'm gonna send a message to Adlai.
Mm-hmm.
What's the requirements? I think it's like less than 25 words or something.
Yeah, it's less than 25 words. But we've never listened to the word count of sending.
I'm just going to say, just hide. Get somewhere safe. More details to come.
You get a response back of just, got it. I won't be far.
All right. Cool. Shitting hell.
But Sybil, you agree to come inside, and he kind of like puts a hand on your back in a very similar manner like he used to when you were a child and he was like leading you somewhere. And he leads you back inside and shut the back door behind him. And he looks at you and he goes, are you hungry? Well, it's going to be close to 4 in the morning now. Breakfast will be ready in a few hours. You look exhausted as well. Do you want to take a nap before then?
I'll be all right. I've had food recently and I've had plenty of rest. I'll be fine. That's a fucking blatant lie, but you know.
He gives you a very knowing look, Sybil. Like, the look a parent would give you if they you know you just got caught in a lie.
Listen, I'll be fine. Don't worry about me.
Your mother would have my head if she knew I didn't feed you, Sybil.
Well, it's also 4 a.m. I think that is, let's just wait until breakfast time. And, you know, a proper time for proper eats, you know?
Well, whatever you want, dear. You are a guest in my house, after all. And it's been so long since I've seen you. I want to know what you've been up to.
All right.
I haven't seen you since you came up to my shoulders. You really grew.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But he is going to actually lead you through what seems to be like this dining hall. So from where you are in the kitchen, he goes straight through that set of doors that you didn't go through the last time, which leads you directly through a dining hall that is kind of both half a dining hall and half like a training room. There's a wall of dummies set up on the far wall that seem to have their fair share of use. Like, they seem old. And each one of them has like some kind of like a face painted on them, like a face of someone, like not just like little emoji faces, like it's someone's face painted on each one of these dummies.
Oh, fun. Oh, fun.
And
arts and crafts for the whole family.
If you spend any amount of time looking at these dummies, Sybil, you would recognize the face of one of them. You would recognize the face of your father painted on the far left one.
These are training dummies, and one of them is my... What the fuck?
One of them has the face of your father painted on it. It's very crude. It's a very childlike drawing, but it's, like, unmistakably your father. But you really don't have time to process that as you are led out through a set of double doors into the main foyer area. And immediately kind of guided left up a set of stairs. And you also notice Cyrex very particularly seems to step over something on the bottom of the stairs. And kind of like motions for you to do the same as you see this thin silver string on the bottom stair.
This is in the main foyer area, right?
This is in the main foyer area, so if you turn left, there's, like, a spiral staircase that leads up to a second floor, and there's just this thin silver thread on the bottom step that he steps over to go up the stairway.
Good to know.
But you head up to the first floor, and he leads you down a hall into the right before he takes out a key from his pocket and unlocks a door. And opens the door, and you see immediately that this has got to be his room. It is the most extravagant room in this whole building. There is a large king-sized canopy bed pushed up against the back wall, just straight in the center, underneath a large like bay window that looks out over the city, and there is just a variety of different like richly covered fabrics and like crushed velvets and silks just kind of draped over chairs in this room. There's a desk with a mirror that has like a variety of different jewelry and makeups sat on it. You can imagine, like, this is where he dresses in the day. There's a partition that has a variety of different clothing garments, like, draped over it. And just, from what you know of him, this doesn't surprise you. He's always been a very showy, very flashy person. The garb that he's in now is actually incredibly dull from what you've seen him in. He's just in a simple shirt and pants. you get the sense like maybe this is like a work clothing attire, as he was expecting a delivery today. But he kind of like leads you in and kind of like motions for you to like take a seat on the bed. Just, you are more than welcome to stay here for us until dinner is ready, my dear. Or until breakfast is ready, my dear.
All right, sure. Thank you. And I guess Sybil pops a squat. Does anything happen when that happen when I sit down?
Nope. Nothing happens when you sit down. Okay. Cyrix gives you just this kind of like soft smile, kind of like the smile you would give someone, like a friend you haven't seen in a long time. And you see, just make an insight check.
Yeah, I'm gonna insight check this motherfucker. He seems way too friendly. He knows I'm like doing shit. No, I don't see shit. 14?
14? Okay. So you look in his face and like the look he's giving you is genuine. Like that look of the soft smile, the look of seeing someone he cares about after so long. It's a genuine look that he gives you, and he almost has like a guilty expression behind it. Just in his eyes, you can tell that like something is like weighing heavy on his heart. And he continues with the smile as he looks down at you and just goes, I can't wait to talk and catch up. It's been so long, Sybil, and I do want to extend my condolences. I never got the chance to about Callie.
Oh, that a fucking spiked ball lands in Sybil's fucking stomach. Well, thank you. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure you've got matters to attend to.
I do, unfortunately, and I wish I could stay, but over breakfast, we will definitely talk. But there is something I need to attend to. And he turns around and opens the door and, like, stands in it before he looks over and he gives you a smile and just, get some rest, kiddo, okay?
Sybil nods.
And he shuts the door behind him and you hear the lock engage.
Did he lock it? Oh, I don't trust anything this man's doing.
Gabrielle, I see you looking at your spells over there.
Yeah.
What you doing?
Have I used both of my Eldritch slots?
So you get your invocations back after a short rest.
A short rest?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure it's a short rest. You get your spell slots back on a short rest too.
Well, that's if I use hit dice.
But between you getting put on this long ship and getting to the city, it would have been a long rest anyway. So you had plenty of time. You would have had plenty of time, so you would have had them back.
Okay. Am I just tied to this chair?
You are like bound in every sense of the way. Your wrists, your forearms, across the shoulders, your legs are strapped in. You are about as connected to this chair as you can be.
Okay. So I'm going to use the Eldritch invocation of Sculptor of Flesh.
Okay.
And cast Polymorph on myself.
Okay.
Can I become a rat?
Yeah, you can become a rat.
Hell yeah. Gavrat.
Yeah, you shrink down into your rat form. Easily able to hop off the chair.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Scuttling away. Is there a way for me to get out of this room?
The only way out of this room is through the door that Cyrix closed behind him. Mm-hmm. And there is not a gap big enough for you to shove your rat body through. There is, like, a grate up high,
mm-hmm,
that, like, if you could get up there, you could shove your rat body through, but it's, like, it's on the top of the door.
Okay.
You get the sense that this room, though not used very well, is meant to keep a magic user in.
Yeah! That's fair.
No, I'm not letting you pull what I pull on you.
Yeah, I have Dimension Door.
Okay.
Can I try that?
So you pop out of your rat form, and you start the incantations of Dimension Door. I almost said Dementory. Dimension Door. Before you hear a voice to your right in that one holding cell that seems to be furnished, you hear a Kefri? And it's a voice that makes your heart sink. It's a voice you haven't heard in almost 7 years. You look to your right slowly and lock eyes with Calliope, who's holding the bars looking at you with a wide-eyed expression on her face. And that is where we will end.
What the fuck?
Why have both you and Haley kidnapped my loved ones?
Megan's going through a lot this week.
Megan's going through a lot with this session.
Let my friends go. God.
I hope you all enjoyed that episode. It was a whole lot of fun. But we'll kind of head straight into the plugs. If you want to hear more from Miss Megan, you can go find her over on Instagram, which is otter_sketches. She does a lot of fun art over there, so go check her out. If you want to see more from Miss Haley, you can go find her over at twitch.tv/HaleyDoesThings. She'll stream over there sometimes. It's a lot of fun, so go check her out. We have a Twitter, which is m_m_shenanigans. Sometimes we post updates over there. Sometimes we don't. It's been kind of a hit or miss situation. If you want to send us an email, our email is m.m.podcast2000@gmail.com. Let me know what is your favorite pastry. Sure, that's a question. We also have a TikTok, which is @mischief_monsters. Megan and I post our favorite moments over there and all of our favorite highlights, so go check that out. And I think that's all I got. Everyone have a great day. Bye.